Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show. We are sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, and we are here to shine light on loss and grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with you I have two of my brothers. I only have two, but they're both here. Terrell Jackson.
What's up?
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
And I'm good, Terrell. I'm good. I got a headache, but I'm here.
Yeah.
We got Taj Jackson. What's up, Taj?
Hey, guys.
I said hi. Are you saying hi to us too, or
I'm saying
listeners?
Hi to the world.
Okay, cool. What's going on, you guys? How was your week?
It's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Trying to think of what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
It's harder than it seems, man.
It's been a little hectic, yeah.
Has it been hectic, too?
Just a little bit.
Oh, man.
How's your week been?
My week's good.
Before we start with
Do you want me to start with my week?
Yeah, go ahead. You always go last, so.
Well, I have my 10-year wedding anniversary today.
Oh, wow.
So that's...
Congratulations.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, Terrell. I don't really remember my week, but I do remember today. So it's my 10-year wedding anniversary. Yeah. And that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So cool. I'm trying to think of... Let me ask you guys your week before I go into a quick little mini topic I want to discuss too.
Okay.
So Terrell, how was your week?
My week was okay. I'm not at home right now. I'm shuffling around because I'm having work done on it.
Yeah.
On
your home.
On my home. But it was good. You know, obviously it was June 25th, Uncle Michael's anniversary of his passing. So that's, always a little difficult, you know, and it was cool. I went and saw a couple of my players that I've coached in Little League. They had all-star games, so went and saw them play a little bit.
You went and supported them?
Yep.
Good for you, man.
And then I guess that was it, pretty much. Bryce, Adrian, and Bree, they went to Boston, so.
I thought you were going. Were you not going to go?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Taj, how was your week, man?
It was good. Pretty Little Liars ended yesterday. So that's interesting.
Wait, like it's off air or
No, that was it. That's the finale. So I don't know how many.
Wait, that's it for the season or for the show?
For the show.
Oh, you can't be happy about that.
Well, it's an interesting thing because you watch a show for so long and then it's finally over and it's like you have to realize that you're never going to see these characters again. And I was...
Gosh, don't tell me you get
Hold on.
You didn't even let me finish. I wasn't that big of a fan. There are shows that I was a big fan.
Why is it over? Because of the ratings or because...
No, just because it's gone on so long. It's...
Can't be that many years.
Six or seven.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I've never... Have you seen the show,
TJ? No, man. I'm sorry, I have not.
It has a loyal following, especially on social media, but I think...
Todd, you ever notice you like shows that have, like, a mini, like... Drama? I don't want to say cult, because that's too... It has a negative connotation, but you like shows that, like, have their own little niche group of followers that are kind of different?
You know what it is, TJ? It's not that. I watch a show, the premiere. You know, I like to watch shows the first episode.
The pilot.
And this was one of them?
This is one of them, yeah. Jeez. It's like, so it's
and it caught you?
Yeah, well, it caught me enough that I've been watching it since then. But I think the thing is that it's hard when it's a trendy show already and then they're like, oh, go watch it and stuff like that.
Who's the main character?
Huh? There's a lot of main characters. It's about a bunch of girls. So.
Taj. See, that's why I asked.
Yeah. But I mean,
you love, I don't know what it is, but you're obsessed with like girls. You always play in a video game. You always play a girl. I'm thinking about Buffy.
Yes.
What was the other one with Jessica Alba? What show was that?
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel.
Great show.
What is it with these female characters?
You know, I would be insulted, but Joss Whedon has the same thing. Like that's his thing. He loves.
Is it an underdog thing?
It's like the strong female women, basically. There's not enough of it shown on TV and stuff. So for me, I like that. I like seeing that. I like, I mean, God, it's so cliche to see a strong guy like, oh, save the day and stuff like that. So it's not an underdog thing, because that means that it's not supposed to be, you know, but it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to me, because I think Hollywood shows what, like, if you're a screenwriter, you write what you know. So if it's dominated by male writers, you're going to see a lot of male, you know, superheroes or whatever. Speaking of Wonder Woman, you know, Wonder Woman took so long to get done because it was the thought that you can't have a female superhero.
Right.
You know? And now it's crushing records. And, you know, it's basically the big one on DC right now.
Did your girls see that movie, TJ?
Wonder Woman? Yeah, they did.
I think they liked it.
That was the movie. Okay, well, we're live here on the Power of Love radio show, and if you're listening to us right now, thanks for joining us. Later on in our show, we'll be open up to taking questions on Twitter, possibly phone calls. Yeah, we're going to take phone calls. The number here to call in if you want to contribute is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. We want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. So, real quick, guys, there's a couple of mini topics I want to talk about. First of all, did you guys see the Philando Castile videos? It's a little tough to watch, but did you guys see
which one is this?
Oh, yeah. Castile? Oh, yeah. I did see them.
For everyone who's listening that's not familiar with Philando Castile, maybe I think you should Google it, because it's a story I think really everyone should know about. Philando is the first name, Philando, and the last name is Castile, Castile. And basically, I'll retract the story a bit. A year ago, Castile and his girlfriend, I believe it's Diamond Reynolds is her name, were pulled over for a busted brake light. And apparently, I don't know all the facts, so I shouldn't really be saying this without knowing it, but apparently there was also a robber suspect on the loose. Mm-hmm. Don't know how true that is, but that later came out in the trial, because the cop who was on the scene, in my opinion, pretty blatant, flat out panicked, and shot Castile in a really disgusting and unfortunate way, where it was so unnecessary. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not there, but it's just a lot of question marks. I'm just gonna say it like that. And the outcry is obviously because Castile was a well liked person who really obviously didn't deserve to die, but just was in the bad place and at the wrong time with the wrong person. And a new video came out where their daughter, who was in the back seat of the car, had to not only see all this and experience all this, but comes out, and it's just a sad story. And it just
everyone should see all of them.
And then the newer videos are just now being released.
Yeah.
And the officer was released, was found innocent, or found not guilty is what I should say, was found not guilty. So it's just a big situation here in the States, but it's just an unfortunate thing, and I just want to know, get your guys' take on it.
I don't want to say found not guilty. I would say that the jury said he was not guilty.
Okay.
You know, you see that footage, and there's no, I mean, I've seen it from different angles, obviously, from the police dash cam, and then also from, she streamed some of it on Facebook at that point once he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the thing, because the Facebook streams we've seen for over a year.
Yeah, because that happened after he had gotten
But this shot. Was the first time the we public saw what transpired beforehand.
And the thing for me that's really, I guess, disgusting about it, and we were taught this at a young age in terms of, you know, our dad, you know, I remember when I was driving, he said, make sure when you get pulled over, the cop sees your hands, you know, don't do any sudden movements. And it's really unfortunate, because that's what goes through your head when you get pulled over. It's like, I have to be very slow. You know, I can't, you know, do any sudden movements. And I want him to see both my hands, because it's like the benefit of the doubt is he's going to shoot you or she's going to shoot you if they think that you're doing something. Mm-hmm. It's just the world we live in now, and it's disgusting. But he had a gun
still, yeah,
that he was licensed to carry, and he stated
beforehand
to the cop, he's like, I just want you to know I have a gun, you know. Like she did everything right in that aspect, you know, and that's the thing that was disgusting. He did everything right and he still got shot and killed, and I think that's what upsets people.
It's tough to
watch everything right. Yeah,
it's completely, it appears that he did everything right. And
well, I want everyone to watch the footage.
Watch,
I mean, your brain will say, okay, what,
something's
what,
off,
yeah, what went wrong here, what did other people see that, you know, and that's the thing.
So watch the videos. I think everyone, especially anyone who's listening to our show, should be familiar with the Philando Castile and to his family and Ms. Reynolds and to the baby girl. Oh, man. You know, no words can express. And let's just hope, you know, he didn't pass in vain and something happens, because this can't continue. Just reckless loss of life. For I don't know if the word's panic. I don't want to say, you know, prejudice. I don't want to say stereotype. I don't want to say any of that, because I try to make sure I'm reserved and make sure I'm not jumping to conclusion. But something's off, well, you know. And I don't know if it's just the unprofessionalism of that specific person. If it's the training, something is off and it needs to get fixed.
Can I blame something too?
Yes, please.
I think. Like what we promote is to blame as well, because the thing is that if I'm someone that hasn't been in contact with another race or another religion,
ethnicity,
anything in terms of that, and all I see is what's on TV, mm-hmm. or all I see that's what I have to go off of, mm-hmm. and you can tell this guy panicked, you know, mm-hmm. not saying that it's good or bad, but he panicked. What the heck was going through his head? In that aspect, is he thinking all black people are killers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and are guilty? Is that, you know, was that part of his watching stuff on TV or watching movies or, you know, or family?
You raise a very good point, Taj, because I was actually discussing this with a friend of mine, you know, and in no ways do I want to let the situation off the hook or the officer off the hook, in no ways, because he should be trained. But I think we as, and everyone, and not just, I'm not going to say this as a black person, but all people, try to represent the best of your, because people naturally, some people can't help but stereotype people, and it's their bad, but that's just the reality of it. You know what I mean? Because in this situation, Castile's completely innocent. He's completely, you know, and he was such a well-liked person by everyone, but because of someone's lack of understanding of multicultural and maybe not being influenced by stereotypes, he lost his life. And I just think, I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I just want all people to represent the best of yourself, you know. And I don't know. I guess it's kind of like a TJ rant. I just don't like when there's a lot of times we glorify being hard. We glorify. You know what I mean? And a lot of cultures can't understand that. They don't, I don't know.
What do you mean by hard? Do you mean like tough, like edgy? Or what do you mean by...
I guess we could just talk about this if you guys want, because I'd love to. But it's like, Todd, I look back into the 70s and 80s. I'll just take music, for instance. We had Marvin Gaye. We had...
I thought you were going to say disco. my genre. Todd,
but we had so many, you know, like... I don't know. Just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
The world's shifted. It has, and I think the morals have shifted as well, in terms of now it is almost like a I'm out for myself mentality.
I just don't like how it feels like sometimes you have to be harder or more. It's part of our society's problem. It's the same thing where it's like the shock value. You have to go, and that's what makes me respect someone like Kendrick Lamar so much. Mm-hmm. You know, And I think, and Childish Gambino, and I heard Chance the Rapper had a really good speech on it. But like those guys are cool and comfortable being themselves. So they still get that culture. They still get their flavor, but there's no violence tinged in it. You know, there's no violent, there's not a, and I just think I wish as the media as a whole would portray that more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, if a regular colored boy or a 17-year-old young artist came in clean cut and one came in with, you know, that was more talking about other wrong stuff.
You don't want to use the word thug.
Yeah, I don't want to use that, but it came in that way. The companies and the media would gravitate to that one because he's more sellable.
Yeah.
Or more, and that, to me, is part of the problem.
Well,
because
shock and violence sell in this
that's
world.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're trying to say, and I'll say it for you. Shock and violence sells in this world, and it's unfortunate. And
but what, since when? Why did that happen? Because, like I said, you had time period when Marvin Gaye and Uncle Michael and all these... it wasn't violent. It was love. What happened?
You want the answer? You want the wisdom?
Sure.
The wisdom is...
like this guy cares.
Hey, I've been researching it. The wisdom is that corporations are... news is now owned by corporations, and so it's all about ratings. Before news, they gave you what
you
happened, the factual stuff that happened. Yeah. Now it's all about ratings, so... They're playing in a space now that they have to shock. They're competing against web bloggers and stuff like that. So where you had, I'm not going to mention any names of news corporations, but where you knew that they were like straight down the middle, now they're trying to go to the
CNN.
Extreme. Just any of those. Like it's like they have to play for ratings now. So they have to amp something
they're
up.
They're competing in a game.
Or
if
there's something violent, they have to show it 5,000 times because otherwise if they only show it once, some other network will show up 5,000 times and they'll lose out.
All I'm saying is someone like Philando Castile, never obviously met him. Guy has corn rolls. And because he has corn rolls, he probably scared.
That's why I think about my braids all the time. I'm like,
there you go. You probably experience a bit of it where you get treated a different way because of your braids. And you like your braids. You should be able to wear them. But I just wish our society would show more people wearing braids that aren't. Fit a stereotype.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean,
it needs to though.
Yeah, I mean that's all that comes down to whether it's news or Hollywood. It comes down to seeing more of a positive role models, and that's just not.
Well, I just wish there was a way the world could shift that way, which is another reason. Like I said, hats off to those who are trying to, like that again. Kendrick Lamar, I think of him because he's on top of he did it. He's on top of the game. And all his is tinged with a positivity, trying to better. You know, his new single, that's one of the biggest songs so far of the year, is called Be Humble. You know, and he's talking about, you know, everyone's trying to be harder or whatever. And he's talking about just be humble. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, I just love it, you know. But again, I don't want to also take the officer off the hook because he was completely wrong, and his training was not up to par. You know, I don't want to say he's racist or whatever, but he just flat out panicked.
7 shots.
That was horrible, dude. Watch the video.
That's
it's just really, it's terrible. And, you know, our hearts are blessed.
He should have been penalized more than he was.
Our hearts are with the Castile and his family and the baby girl. Okay, so... you guys, what do you guys want to do today? Want to have an open phone line? Would you want to talk? There's a couple cool topics. I saw Turo. I know you had a couple great topics.
I want to talk to the listeners too.
You want to talk to the listeners?
I mean, just in general, I like talking to people. I talk to you guys all the time. So,
okay, what do you got, Turo?
Hello.
Turo's answering phone calls during our broadcast.
Yeah, sorry. This guy created me. That's my phone.
Pop of tea. All right, so. 323-203-0815. Have him call
What's up,
in.
Pops? We're doing a.
This guy is answering a phone call during our radio show.
Papa T.
I understand, Papa T. Text them and tell them to call here.
Yeah.
It's for the listeners, man.
All right.
323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815.
And Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. If you want to tweet some questions or some things to us, but. Yeah, TJ, I get disturbed by those kind of things. It's like I have to be very careful.
How to say it.
No, just in general, because it's like it really is. This is the one that video was the one video where it looked like such an open and shut case. Because he did everything right, and it's like there was footage of it.
Well, it's a live stream too.
Yeah, but that was
the live stream was after he was just, yeah, shot.
I'm talking about the police dash cam, and it's like that. Just to me, makes you think like, what else? You know, like, do we have targets on our back?
Yeah,
and there was a child in the car.
So sad. All right, you guys. First of all, did anyone see the Tupac movie?
No. I did not.
Neither one of you guys.
I did not.
No interest, Taj?
No, it's not that. I was on my anniversary.
Terrell, no interest?
Yes and no, because I've heard mixed things about it.
Okay.
I don't know. Did you see it? How was it?
I did see it. It was okay. I wanted it to be better. Mm. I really liked Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie. But I don't know. I wanted it to be a little better. That's my take. But, you know, I learned about... I don't know how accurate it was as well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the hard thing. And I think the thing for me is just knowing how much liberty they take on our family. It's like I don't trust those movies. Like,
that's a
even
good point.
Even with Straight Outta Compton, I know that there were liberties taken. You know, people saying, oh, this is not what happened, or, you know, this is... Or this person was portrayed better than he really was. And so, for me, it's like... I'm scared because I have a vision of Tupac, and I don't want that to be influenced by someone else's vision of Tupac that might not even be real.
Yeah,
might not be, you know, legitimate.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we've seen this, you know, the movies and stuff on our family, and it's like like 10% true, and you're like, okay, so, but and then people come up to you and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know da 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 da, and you're like, where did you hear? And then they see it from the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, so that's what I'm careful of. Like, I'm like, so I don't know.
All right. Well, it's open topics, open phone lines. You guys call in. We'll discuss whatever you guys want to talk about. We got some mini topics that we're going to just pretty much talk about, have an open conversation on. The phone number again is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Taj, real quick, how was your trip?
Oh. What, the anniversary?
Yeah, their anniversary.
Oh, it was great. It was incredible. I mean, went to Solving.
Okay.
Can we talk about this?
No. Did we?
Yeah, we talked about it.
I don't remember.
We're rehashing over here.
Did we really?
Yeah, but it was cool. And, got sunburned not for the first time.
Yeah, how's your... You okay?
Which is really strange. I don't know if this is just another sign of global warming, but I'm starting to peel now. I never peel. It's just hot, man.
It is hot.
Terrell was sunburned last week on his forehead.
I went for the first time to the baseball game to watch my kids play.
Really?
Yeah,
they got me.
Yeah,
Terrell, what did you want to talk about? What were you had a couple of things you wanted to talk about?
Well, there was dealing with breakups and loss, divorce,
because
it is about grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grief isn't just about death. There's loss of relationships, so that was something in touch like that. So,
what do you guys want to talk about with that?
Well, just how to deal with it, how to pick yourself back up.
And what would you say for that?
Well, there's the thing. First of all, is the feeling of loss.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's there is most likely because when you meet somebody, you have high expectations and you have dreams and plans and goals, and something goes wrong, and obviously you try to work it out. It doesn't. You decide to split or divorce, whatever it may be, and you have loss because number one, you don't know what the future is. Are you going to end up alone? Are you going to find somebody new? You know, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different lifestyle for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your family's broken. You lost. You are quote unquote unsuccessful of having, you know, reaching your goals and dreams of being with this person. So there's that type of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then where do you go from there? And what can you do? You know,
do you think that loss is lessened if you remain friends with that person that you broke up with?
Touch, why did I know you were going to go there?
Because
your brother.
That was one of my things, and I knew you would latch on to that.
I'm trying to keep this conversation going here.
No, I knew that was going to come, especially from you. the term or the thing of keeping in touch with your ex, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is that what you're going to go to, Tosh?
Go ahead.
Obviously. No, you go ahead, because I knew you.
No, I was just saying there's a lesson if you're still friends with the person afterwards. You just don't have that romantic tie anymore.
I think it depends on the relationship, and I think it depends on how much time has gone on between. And also the relationship, like how it ended. There's so many variables in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Depends. I mean, I'm still friends with
someone. I'm staying quiet on my anniversary day. If this wasn't
a smart very, move. Very smart
if it move. Wasn't my anniversary day, I'd chime in.
Very smart move.
But I'm not chiming in. okay. Well, here's a topic I wanted to talk about. People, you mentioned this, I think, Terrell.
Probably.
And I looked up an article. Yeah. All right. You mentioned the fear of dying.
Yes, I did.
And there is a new, well, it's a couple weeks old, but there is an article, and I don't know, sorry for our UK listeners, I don't know if The Independent is a respected piece of journalism.
So you didn't do your homework that
I didn't
much.
Do my homework
you
that
did
much.
Your homework to a certain point.
But there's they had a recent article that said, dying is a happier, in quotation, happier experience than most people imagine, say scientists. They say, here I'm going to read the first bit of the article because it was pretty interesting. Dying is a more positive experience than most people imagine. A recent YouGov survey found 68% of people in Britain fear death. But according to the author of the new study, dying is less sad and terrifying and happier than you think. Researchers at the University of North Carolina analyzed blogs written by terminally ill patients and last words of prisoners on death row. The emotions expressed in the accounts were not lonely and anxious, but in fact filled with love, social connection, and meaning. I'm sorry. The study published in the journal Psychological Science compared the real words of the dying to similar compositions by volunteers asked to imagine they only had a few months to live. Real quick before I continue, what's your guys' opinion on that? You guys have a fear of dying?
Yes and no. I mean, there's so much in that sentence. There's the fear of the act of dying. There's the fear of who you leave behind.
Mm-hmm. And what you leave behind.
Yeah, who and what you leave behind. The pain involved, all of that, you know.
If there is anything. Terrell, for someone with a fear of death, what would you say is the... How would you be able to overcome that?
Overcoming that? Well...
Or getting through that?
Well, first of all, I think in order to overcome something, you kind of have to understand the cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with dying, I think the issue with dying is it's unknown.
And this is one of the tricky things, because how do you know dying? You can't learn it.
You can't. It's unknown. And there's no one that, not that I know of, there's no one you can talk to and they can tell you about dying. Because mm-hmm. if you're dying, you're not here, obviously. So you're dealing with the unknown. And a lot of people with the unknown, there's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't...
Was it Lynn who was here last week? Mm-hmm. I think her practice of... she said every day she says what she's thankful for. I think that is so important, not only for you as a person, but I think that would help in this situation. Because I think if you could change your mental approach, things like the fear of dying or fear, many of your fears kind of get diminished, you know. And for instance, there's one quote that's here in this article that says, "I have no regrets at all. I've had a full life touched and been touched by such wonderful family and friends. So if there's to be a final lesson for me, it is that love is the ultimate gift, love and honesty." That was a quote from someone who is terminally ill. And I just think for her, that fear of death isn't as strong because she's more in a thankful state of mind. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Or more in a comfortable state of mind. So I think a lot of the fear of death comes from being kind of just a little chaotic mentally.
It's hard. It's interesting because for me, I had a huge fear of death up until mom passed, and then it changed completely. Then there was really no fear of death, and then it was compounded when Uncle Michael passed, you know, in terms of not having that fear.
See, Tajan, I'm going to piggyback off that because I couldn't agree with you more. I had a huge fear of death before mom passed. When mom passed, I had zero fear of death.
Because
I didn't care. Because there was nothing to fear at that point. Yeah. It was like one of those things, like, if you die, I mean, I was 16. So if I'm 16 and if I pass, the bad news is I'm not here, but the great news is I get to see mom, or I mean, where mom is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was my mentality for a long time. And then when Uncle Michael passed, it became again back to fear, because as a parent, I'm thinking of what is being left behind. Right. You know what I mean?
Kids,
so now I'm thinking about making sure my kids and my family is good if I pass. So it's not really a personal fear. It's more of a fear of everything not being strong and put in. Like, for instance, Royal, I have to apologize to Royal all the time. Cause I say, Royal, I'm sorry, I'm hardest on you. But it's because I want you to be the strongest. Because if something happens to me, I want you to be able to lead your younger siblings,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so older brother thing.
Yeah. Montage. So, all right, we'll take... there's been phone calls. We're going to start taking them. Who do we have on the line with us?
Oh, hello, teacher. It's Sona.
Hi, how are you?
From the UK.
Yes.
Oh. I think you know me. I'm the French... the French fan.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And you?
Good.
You okay?
Yeah, we're doing really well. What do you have, do you want to say?
I would like to talk about hate.
Yes.
Because it's something that really shocked me, and it's something that I really don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
When I read some things like on social media or things like that, it can be like really painful.
Do you get a lot of like hatred on social media and stuff like that?
In fact, it's not about me. I don't know, it's a bit hard to talk about this because, in fact, it's about your Uncle Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let me guess. So when my uncle gets a lot of bad word, or, you know, people talking bad about him, it bothers you.
You get protective.
You get protective.
I get like I don't know. It's really hard to talk about this because I never talked about this.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's just very very painful for me. Very
yeah.
very painful.
Okay. Well, Taj, I'm gonna let you answer.
No, I have a question first. Before that, were you when he was alive? Was it the same feeling, or is it now that he's not here to defend himself in a way? You know that it's even.
It was the same.
Same. So
it was the same because I spent lots of time, in fact, defending him.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were saying lots of bad things, mm-hmm. and I was just trying to explain them to be a bit more open-minded, and instead of just judging someone without knowing him, just trying to understand him.
Yes.
And just try to see all the positivity and all the good things he was doing. But for them, like, I was just like, I was blind or I was... Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing, I think, because we've all been there, you know, me and my brothers, in the same thing of either defending our family or our uncle or whatever. And at some point, you just have to realize there's a lot of ignorant people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way I sleep at night. And you look at any topic, whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, religion, whether it's love. There's so many different viewpoints, and everyone thinks their viewpoint is right. And so there's certain people that you will never be able to change their mind, no matter how logical you are, how factual you are. And you're just, I think for me, it was very, I got a lot of strength from just realizing that not to waste my time with those people anymore, because that gave me time and strength for myself and to focus on people that do appreciate, you know, my my uncle or our uncle in that way, because I was focused so much on the ones that were just disruptive, and some of them they just have nothing better to do, and they have way more time than you do.
Yes,
and that's the thing, and so you'll never win.
I think you're totally right.
Yeah, you'll never win, and they want, you know, they're used to playing in the mud, and so they want to bring you down to that level, and so. At the same time, for me, it's about focusing on the positive and putting the energy towards that, because that's how you combat it.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you so much for telling me that, because I think you're in the perfect place to know how to deal with that. So
focus on the positive.
I never could. And even after all those years, it's just so difficult for me. So
yeah, do things in his honor and in his name and memory, and that keeps it going, and that, you know, that will always keep his name going. That's what we do. And
yeah, and really quick to add, Taj, very well said, by the way, Taj. But a lot of thank you so much for the phone call.
Yes.
By the way, I missed your name. Say your name one more time.
It's Sona.
Sona?
Sona.
Okay, cool. Sona, thanks. Yes. Thanks for calling in so much. And have a great rest of the week, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Sorry, I just wanted to add something. Despite all of that negativity, I just wanted to say that Michael brought me, he could open like a space for me where I could find positivity, open-mindedness, tolerance, and just something really good, because I think I already talked with Taj the first time I met him, in Paris there's so much negativity, and when you grow up in that place and when you find someone like Michael, it's just great, because then now I can really be myself. So I just wanted to add this.
Yes.
So nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for calling
in.
All right. Take
care. It was really nice talking to you.
All right. Talking to you. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sweet. That was our first time calling, right?
I think it was our first time.
You remember, guys, too, I remember Uncle Michael always telling, because I remember we had trouble when we were younger with people, you know, spreading stories about him or talking bad. And, he would always point out that a lot of people, that's kind of a way you know you're doing something. You know, a lot of people, from Martin Luther King to a lot of the amazing people that we know, from Michelangelo, All the great achievers had their great share of enemies and got their fair share of hatred. And I think it's probably one of the issues or underlying issue with mankind is that I don't know if it's born through jealousy or it's born envy.
I think a lot
envy.
Of it is jealousy.
Whatever it is, but it's all you can do is say how you feel, support the person you love and adore and who's doing well, and don't drag yourself down. Don't slow yourself down, because like Taj said, some of these people have all day to just try to ruin your day. And if they ruin your day, they succeed. They win. That's how they get. It's like that's their oxygen. So that's my take.
Yeah. It's a great take.
Terrell, you're quiet on this.
No, I was just thinking about what you said. It's very true. You can't give
give
life to
Can't
negativity.
Give him oxygen.
It's all negative.
Can't give him oxygen. Okay, so we're going to take another phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
This is Sequoia.
What's going on, Sequoia?
Not much. How are you?
We are doing well. We are doing well. Just doing the show. What you got for us?
Hey, I'm going to try to pick a topic because I could relate to all of them.
Yeah.
Y'all were discussing. About the cops, you were talking about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I I had, well, tweeted earlier about how I know there's, like, a lot of good cops out there, mm-hmm. and, but the media, they just want to focus on the bad cops and their actions. Mm-hmm. And it's like on Facebook, people post about good cops. And even this one video of this 70 or 80-year-old man, he was on his porch in 90-degree weather because it was like 105 degrees in his house. So these cops had bought him an AC vent for his house. And it's like no one hears about that because mm-hmm. the media, they just want to focus on the bad stuff or try to make the good things look bad when it's not.
Yeah. Sequoia, well done. Cause, and I thank you for bringing that up because I couldn't agree with you more. There's a lot of great cops out there. And obviously, when you do a good deed, it doesn't get noticed. It's just an issue. I think the media... I don't know if it's lazy journalism. I don't know if it's taking the
negativity
easy route.
Sells,
but I get that. But I feel like there's a way to make positivity win. Like, you know, The Cosby Show was an amazingly positive show, was the biggest show. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that's from the TV. There's some of your biggest movies are positive movies.
But you're picking some of your biggest an era where that was kind of common.
I don't watch TV, so I can't really tell you. But I just feel like lazy journalism has won out. You know, and Sequoia is right. For me, and I know I'm not the mass, but I'd much rather see, you know, I don't want to say much rather, but I would see a show of good deeds, yeah. you know? And I think if that gets more of a chance and gets more of a push, even if it's like a society, it's doing a society good.
Yeah.
You know, and even me growing up, I'm getting better, but I had a fear of cops. You know what I mean? I felt like, you know, mm-hmm. mentally like, you know, maybe they're looking at me because you know I'm black. You know, maybe they're doing this, and if I'm feeling that way, imagine what they're feeling like in other places in the states. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But there are those great.
Of course, they're definitely in the South.
Yeah,
dealing with that and being deal with that on a daily basis.
But and I wish the media would though show better when cops are doing great deeds. There's a video of a cop. Doing some dancing with you know some inner city kids and they're playing basketballs with other yeah. basketball with another one, and it's just when those good deeds we need to highlight that so that there's no fear. I think there's a fear issue going on between the cops and the other way around. It's just you know if a civilian kills a cop, they're done. You know they are done. You know, but you know when the cops you know have that same fear and maybe acting inappropriately towards civilians, such as the Castile case. You know, it's I don't know. It's just something we got to do as a society better.
That's true.
Yeah.
Crazy when that's all they show. Even when there are riots, they only show people blowing up things. They don't talk about the people who are trying to do a peaceful protest or even ask the people why are they so angry. They just make people who are angry look crazy.
Yeah. And then what it is, well, that scares a lot of people to protest. Mm-hmm. You know, like if Royal's 16, 17, but let's say he's 16 and there's a big cause that he supported and there's a huge protest, I'd be fearful of him going to protest because of what's sometimes shown about protesting on TV. They only show the negative instances, the fights or someone going to jail. They don't show all the positive protesters, you know? So you're 100% right, Sequoia. 100% right. Well, thank you for the phone call, Sequoia.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I was going to talk about one more thing.
Yeah, let's hear it.
We was talking about seeing the movies on, like, Tupac. Well, I haven't seen the movie since Get Out. But...
did you like that movie,
Sequoia? Oh, yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it was good, like, right? It was fun, man.
That was really creepy.
Terrell, you have not seen it? Terrell, come on, man.
I can't tell you the last
time. Come on, you have to.
Terrell, that's a good movie.
You really have to.
Man. Okay, go ahead, Sequoia. What were you going to say?
But about the Tupac movie, I know a lot of people was on the fence about it after Jada had tweeted about it, how mm-hmm. the movie messed up her whole friendship with Tupac, mm-hmm. how she never went to one of his concerts because he asked her not to. He never read her a poem, and feel like they was just good friends, but in the movie, they made it seem like they was more. But she did give props to the actors that portrayed her in Tupac, that they did a great job, but the whole movie line, they just messed that up.
And I've heard that with a couple of different kind of biography movies or whatever.
Biopics,
where the actors have done an incredible job, but it just wasn't as factual.
Wasn't accurate.
Yeah, well, they took liberties. Because at the end of the day, it's a movie. It has to be entertaining. And that's what. And so facts lose out.
Yeah.
We know that, you know, more than anyone. It's like, well, what if we combine this story with this story? Or what if we combine, can this person just say it instead of how it really happened with this person?
Yeah.
I mean, the American Dream was like Jackson American
was
Dream.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Parts.
Okay.
It was pretty accurate, but...
Okay.
That's like with the Tina Turner movie. Tina and Ike both said it wasn't as bad as it was portrayed in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they did have a lot more good time.
And that's what's scary, too, because that's what people go off of. Like, if I was if I watched, like, Ray, for example, Ray Charles.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about Ray Charles. So all I know is from that movie. That's it. So if it's not 100% accurate... I think it's 100%. In my mind, that's what
that's
I think Ray
Charles
was.
Like, and the burden's on to prove it that it's not.
And that's what's scary, and especially since there's a lot of movies coming out now about our family. That's going to be scary.
Sequoia, thanks for calling.
Yeah,
that's
why.
Okay.
That's why I don't, like, with these movies, if that singer had nothing to do with it, I don't pay attention to that movie. But they did, like, with Michelle A. and Toni Braxton, I will, like, watch the movie.
That's a good point.
Very good. Thank you, Sequoia.
Take care.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much, sweetie. That's very sweet. Take care of yourself, Sequoia.
You too.
Alrighty. Sequoia, always listening. I love it. She comes with some really good points. I think her comment about the police is very strong. And it's true, you know. I wish we would show more positivity really from the media's perspective. We're going to take one more phone call. Who do we have on the line with us right now? Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Leslie.
How are you, Leslie?
How are you?
Hi, how you doing? Pretty good.
Good. You sound nice and happy. What's going on, Leslie?
Yeah.
I wish I was.
You all make me kind of happy when I listen to you all.
Good. We're doing something right then, right, Leslie? What's going on?
Yeah, I want to respond to Terrell's. He was talking about he had a fear of dying.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think
somewhat,
a lot of people have that
fear,
but
yeah.
Death is not natural. You know, and God didn't intend for us to die.
Yeah.
So, can you all hear me?
Yes, we can. We're just listening.
Yeah, we're just listening.
Okay. God didn't intend for us to die. He actually intended us to live forever. That's why he made the earth the way he did. So, but in part, what I can understand what Terrell was saying about when, especially when you have children, I think it's hard to, you know, the fathom that if you're not there for them, what's going to happen to them when you're gone. So that, I think when you're a parent, it's like a whole new feeling of leaving your children behind and who you're going to leave them with. But it's not natural. It's actually a curse. Death is a curse. And it's not your fault when someone dies that you love either. You know, we can't control everything. So you have to forgive yourself. And it's not your fault when someone we love has passed away. Because sometimes people, they can't tell us everything that they're going through, our family, our friends, and they can't share with you everything. And sometimes you want to step in and tell someone, oh, I wish I could stop this person from being in that person's life. But you can't. Sometimes it depends on how they're going to take it. They might not listen to you. And so don't ever blame yourself, Terrell, for anything that you felt you couldn't change about, you know, things that have happened in your past. That goes to all of you guys and the listeners, too. You always can't control everything, but death is a curse. It's not It's not natural. That's why we fear it, because it's not natural. And the Bible tells us it's not natural. So I just want to let Terrell know, you're not alone in the way you feel. It's very hard to deal with death. And I'm dealing with that now with a parent that's very sick. My mom is very sick. And it's like I've been running around all this week, last week. And it's very hard. But I've made peace with that. Maybe one day she will pass. And she's not doing too well now. But I'm not going to, let it stop me. And I'm not going to let it, like, try to hurt me or break me down, because I know she's at peace with it. If she should die, mm-hmm. and I'll be sad, but it'll be at a point where I know she's not in any more pain anymore.
That's the whole thing. You'll live on for her.
Oh yeah, I'll live on through her. Yeah. Because she asked me 2 weeks ago, should she be resuscitated? And I said, it's up to you. If anything should happen, should she be on life support or resuscitated back to life? I says, Mama, it's up to you. I can't make the decision for you, but I've made peace with it. Like, I know that she's going to die, but sometimes you want to hold on to your parent. But mm-hmm. when they're sick, there's nothing you can do. And I'm so sorry for you all in your case, because your mom, she just didn't die of natural causes. Mm-hmm. Somebody murdered your mother, and you have to say that. You have to just blame that person that did that. Don't ever blame yourself for that. Yeah. That person did that to your mom, not you all.
Leslie, you blame you're 100% right. I'm not going to say that word, but it's you're 100% right, and it is completely his fault. I think sometimes it's just hard when you're young. You always want, I think in any age, you always want to know how you could have prevented it. So then you start playing mind games with yourself that if I did this, mm-hmm. then this wouldn't have happened. If I did this, this wouldn't have happened. But you're 100% mm-hmm. right. You can't blame yourself, and you can't control everything.
Yeah.
Leslie, I have a quick question for you too. Was it hard when you asked your mom about what she wanted about being resuscitated or not? Were you trying to be a neutral position, or were you trying to sway her a certain way?
Really, I wanted her to be, if she's made her decision, my mother's not fearful of dying. I've noticed that she's not mm-hmm. fearful, because she knows she's very sick. But when you have your parent in your life for so long, and it's a part of you that wants them to go, and the part of them that wants you to keep them, mm-hmm. because I don't want her to be in any more pain. And it's also, it could be a burden too, because, you're running around like a mad hatter or something, trying to figure out what to do with the person. You don't want to leave that person mm-hmm. in bad hands, because right now she's in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And so, I'd rather my mother pass away than be in a nursing home, because I don't want to have her there with people that, I don't trust or don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm ready for her to go, and I'll be at peace with her when she goes, but I can't, sometimes I just want to hold on to her, because that gives me something to do, working with her and, being around her and, taking care of her, because, she did that for me when I was growing up. So, but it's hard. I lost my father, but with my mother, so right now it's just my sister and myself. There's no one else. See, I don't have a big family, so it's just my mother, my sister, myself. When she goes, and I don't have any children, so it's like it's nothing on to hold on to. So I think a little bit I try to hold on to my mom.
Yeah.
But I'd rather her to go peacefully. But she's not afraid. She has more courage than I do. Aww. About death. And some people can, they made peace with death because they know there's nothing, no medication is going to help them anymore. There's nothing they can do anymore. Yeah. So they're just made peace with themselves.
Leslie, thank you so much for the phone call. We're getting the signal that we have to run, but we want to thank you for it. It's great.
Congratulations on your anniversary, TJ and Todd. We got to work on Terrell.
we'll get him there. We'll get him there.
Yeah, we got to. Congratulations on y'all's anniversary. Bye, Terrell.
Hi. Leslie, thank you so much, too, because you know what? I feel for you, and we're with you on that tough road. But my input would be just do the best you can for your parents and your mom. Start a foundation. Try to make her legacy carry on in any way, even if it's just giving to her favorite church, her favorite school, whatever it is. Just make your mom proud, and I think that's the best way to do it.
100%.
All right, y'all, that's it. We're going to be back here next Wednesday from 1 to 2. We hope you liked our show. If you want to learn more about the D.D. Jackson Foundation, make sure to check out our website at www.ddjf.org. And that is pretty much it. Have a great day, y'all.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.